The American Anthropological Association designated February 18th as World Anthropologist Day, and I was sent a gift certificate for a free meal at Red Lobster Restaurant in appreciation of a lecture I gave last month for a private organization, which is all I can think about as I stare out into the ocean, reflecting on ancient history and, of course, fresh seafood. Anthropology is the scientific study of people, past and present, with a focus on understanding the human condition, both culturally and biologically. In America, the curriculum is divided into four parts, including archaeology, consisting of the analysis of unearthed artifacts and other physical remains, linguistics, which deals with all aspects of language and its origins, culture, meaning traditions, customs, and behavior, and of course, genetics, pertaining to human biological diversity, DNA, racial origins, and evolutionary theory. And while various hypotheses pertaining to humanity's origins are discussed at the university level, the out-of-Africa theory is heavily favored, despite compounding evidence to the contrary, because it seems to support a social engineering political agenda rather than a scientific one. Another theory which is touched upon is called the aquatic ape, which I covered in a prior video, that postulates that mankind did not necessarily come about from monkeys and great apes, but may have shared a common ancestor that evolved around water, whether on the surface of the earth by lakes, rivers, and oceans, or in subterranean caverns, which also contain similar bodies of water, with some upright walking hominins later taking to the trees to evolve into branch-climbing monkeys or fur-covered apes. And while this may sound counterintuitive, mainly because of decades of media conditioning, the concept does share some parallels among some of the world's foremost geneticists and evolutionary biologists, who may or may not also have received a coupon at Red Lobster. Dr. Owen Lovejoy is a distinguished evolutionary anthropologist at Kent State University, Ohio, best known for his work on Australopithecine, locomotion, and the origins of bipedalism. Lovejoy has published more than 100 articles related to his research and is most well known for his work on reconstructing Lucy, an alleged human ancestor with an opposable big toe on its feet, meaning they resembled thumbs for grasping branches and climbing trees. While Lovejoy claimed that Lucy, which was dated to 3.4 million years ago, was at least partially bipedal, he proposes that Artie, another alleged human ancestor dated to between 4 and 5 million years ago, spent more of its time allegedly walking than Lucy, despite being over a million years older. This article titled, Man Did Not Evolve from Apes, says, a U.S. biological anthropologist says he's determined humans did not evolve from apes, but rather, apes evolved from humans. Kent State University professor C. Owen Lovejoy, who specializes in the study of human origins, said his findings came from a study of Ardipithecus ramidus, a hominid species that lived 4.4 million years ago in what is now Ethiopia. Quote, people often think we evolved from apes, but no, apes in many ways evolved from us, Lovejoy said. It has been a popular idea to think humans are modified chimpanzees. From studying Ardipithecus ramidus, or Ardi, a partial female skeleton, we learned that we cannot understand or model human evolution from chimps or gorillas. Of course, Lovejoy is still very much in the mainstream, and while he proposes that humans and apes shared a common ancestor that was neither human or monkey, at least he makes it clear that the popular idea that humans are modified chimps is false. My own analysis is that neither Lucy or Artie, which were a little over 3 feet tall, walked upright at all, and were both primarily tree dwellers. Not only because their feet resembled hands, like other apes, but because their furry ape-like bodies did not sweat, the way all bipedal hominins do, as sweating is a trait that is associated with running and hunting, which neither of these specimens did. The artistic reconstructions in museums are deceptive, showing erect, upright models with human-like feet, which is a fraud. And while they're not completely fake specimen like the Piltdown Man, which was a baboon's jaw glued onto a human skull and touted as the missing link by the British Museum for almost 50 years, or the Nebraska Man, which was another imaginary creation based on what turned out to be a pig's tooth, the missing link is still very much missing, and the linear hominin progression proposed by the Out of Africa model continues to fall apart as advances are made in the field of genetics. The obsolete and politically motivated Out of Africa model proposes a single and relatively recent transition from archaic hominins to anatomically modern humans in Africa, which is not supported by the fossil record, followed by a later migration to the rest of the world, replacing other still existing hominin populations, which again is not what happened. DNA sequencing of modern and archaic genomes has now conclusively and irrefutably demonstrated that humanity is a hybrid species and that racial differentiation exists because we're comprised of various degrees of different hominin species which interbred within the past 50,000 years. In this article published in Nature, we read that ancient humans lived in a Lord of the Rings world and indulged in interspecies sex, including Neanderthals, Denisovans, and a mystery species, which anthropologists have labeled a ghost species, meaning it's considered super archaic, not yet identified in the fossil record, but likely Homo erectus or Homo habilis, over 1 million years removed from modern hominins, and comprises up to 19% of sub-Saharan African DNA, not found in the DNA of Asians or Caucasians. This interbreeding event happened about 43,000 years ago in Africa. In other words, it's not possible for sub-Saharan Africans that contain this archaic DNA that is absent in Cro-Magnon to have left Africa 35,000 years ago and magically mutated into what became modern-day Europeans or Caucasians or Asians. So this leaves the question, where did Cro-Magnon or modern Europeans come from? When we look up the word indigenous in the dictionary, it says, quote, originating or occurring naturally in a particular place, native. That said, the islands right off of the coast of Africa are known as the Canary Islands, and the native indigenous inhabitants were known as Guanches. They left behind tall, blonde, and red-headed mummies and were studied extensively by the National Socialists of the 30s and 40s. If we look up the Guanches in the Encyclopedia Britannica, it says that they were the direct descendants of Cro-Magnon, which makes sense, as the museum on the Canary Islands has the largest collection of Cro-Magnon skulls anywhere in the world. It also says that they had blue or gray eyes and blonde hair, which also makes sense, since the mummies that they left behind had blonde and red hair. It also links them to populations in Europe and North Africa, and not only do the Guanches share genetic affinities with the Basque and the Berbers, which are the natives of North Africa, all of these populations are among the highest percentage of Rh negative blood factor in the world. That said, the Basque mythology, which according to the Center for Basque Studies at the University of Nevada says, quote, where did the Basque come from? No one knows exactly where the Basque came from. Some say they have lived in that area since Cro-Magnon man first roamed Europe. Estimates of how long they have lived there vary from 10,000 to 75,000 years. Some say they were descended from the original Iberians. More fanciful theories exist as well. One is that the Basque are the descendants of the survivors of Atlantis. The concept of Atlantis becomes less fanciful and more probable when one looks at Pleistocene or Ice Age maps of the Atlantic Ocean, when Atlantis was said to have existed and sea levels were much lower, or genetic maps of the Pleistocene distribution of DNA on both sides of the Atlantic, such as haplogroup X. But we never hear about these perspectives because the people that control the media and academia in the 21st century are the same people that were promoting the Piltdown Man hoax during the 20th century. I have a lot more to say on the subject, but I'm starting to get hungry and also wanted to visit my favorite goose before I cash in my coupon, who I think is finally starting to warm up to me. I've been coming to this park for several years now, and this is the first time that this goose has eaten anything that I gave him, let alone right from my hand. It just goes to show that, just like other things in life, most things can be accomplished with perseverance, and that includes the field of anthropology, which currently is in a dark age of ignorance and political dishonesty. But I'm confident that this too will one day change. And humanity will discover that not only is its history much more interesting than we're led to believe, but there's much more to mankind than being an alleged hairless ape. There's a much higher spiritual potential which we've forgotten, but hopefully will soon awaken from our collective amnesia. Now that I've fed the birds, it's finally time to give this place a try. It's my first time and I have high expectations. My waiter suggested that I try the Lobster Lover's Dream, which looks like it's high in cholesterol, but I decided to make an exception. The meal started off with a Caesar salad, which was fresh and crispy and refreshing on a hot day. And then came the lobster, which was served with a linguine, and I substituted the baked potato with some fries. The linguine was a bit on the creamy side for me, but tasted better than I expected. It came with two lobsters, and I really appreciated the meal, which even came with some ice cream at the end, even though it was not my birthday. I guess being the world's most dangerous anthropologist has its perks after all. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.